We are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He who is and was and is to come. Tonight we're going to not be in Amos, and I'm going to speak to you what I believe will be a more brief teaching, maybe a half an hour, I'm thinking, hoping. And then I'm going to tell you about Alaska for the remainder of our time together. So to begin in our teaching, it is a topic today, and I don't like that we have such great gaps, breaks between Amos, between installments of the book of Amos. But beginning next week, I hope... Just be with Amos every Friday until we're done with that. So turn with me in your copy of the Scriptures, please, to the book of Acts. Most of our time will be in the book of Acts tonight. I think if things go the way I expect them to, with only one verse outside of Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 is a message delivered by Stephen, and the whole chapter is such, with some of the outcome of that message at the end of the book, at the end of the chapter rather, and we are interested in one of those outcomes for this verse here. Acts 7 verse 57. Right after the last thing that Stephen says, you read this. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. It's going to say in what follows, they throw him out of the city, they stone him, and collect their clothing from Saul of Tarsus. When it says here that they ran at him with one accord, you know, take this, it is one word in Greek, so with one accord, those three words in your English are one word in Greek. And we're going to look at this one word every time it's used in the New Testament, which is many times in the book of Acts, and once in Romans, and talk about what this means. This word that is translated with one accord is homothumadon. In the Greek. Most of you can, if we busted this word up and we looked at what it's made up of, the homo at the beginning, H-O-M-O, is the same. And then the rest of the word, thumadon, comes from this word that's a form. When you make a word out of it, it's a form of this word thumos, and sometimes that is a word that gets translated as anger. And we're not going to translate it that way here, because it won't work. People aren't always angry when that word is used. If you look at its usage, especially if you look at the New Testament usage of this compound word, homothumadon. I'm going to translate it for you as with the same passion. And I remember when I first encountered this, which would have been in Acts chapter 1, as I was translating through the New Testament, that I really spent time thinking, how can I capture what this means? And the best that I could do, I like sat there at the table, got up from the table, walked, paced around the room, just thinking, how can I capture this? And the best I could do was with the same passion. Now, until a few years back, and the movie The Passion of the Christ, the meaning of the word passion as suffering was like leaving the English language. It was no one was using that word that way much anymore. And if I ever saw it in any kind of writing, it was always a biblical, something biblical, and it would be speaking about the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would even almost always explain as well that this is a technical term for his sufferings. The word originally meant suffering, and that meaning of the word passion is just really fading into the background. It is almost non-existent. Then that movie came out, and everyone now associates it really not with suffering still, but with just that suffering, with the suffering of Jesus on the cross. But I'm not using the word that way. This is a word that is rather versatile if you think about it. If we talk about, use it in a sexual or romantic sense, you're talking about that heat of, you might want to call it lust, but it doesn't have to be something that's negative. Within marriage, it might be all right. That's one way the word is used. This suffering way is another way the word is used. But there's also this idea of like when somebody has a passion for something, you know, someone is an enthusiast about a given thing and they love it. They are just loving this thing, this person, this, it's a very intense love or devotion to something. We call that one's passion. And it can be good or it can be evil. And here it's evil, isn't it? Because here, people hear Stephen and what he's saying, and they are so filled with hatred, and they share that hatred, that this hatred is their passion at the time. Now, some years ago, we spent a year on three things as a result of one year's State of the Flock address on unity, fervency, and agape. In this word, you see two of those things, unity and fervency. There is a fervency, there is a zeal, there is an enthusiasm here, there is an intensity of feeling, but it's shared the same among everyone who's there. They are united in this, which I will elect to call passion. It's to kill this man Stephen, our brother. Let's look at another. In Acts chapter 12, we see homothumadon again. Acts 12, verse 20. Now, Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. But they came to him, homothumadon, with one accord. And having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the kings. you can add whatever you want it to be there that makes sense. The king's country is what they've added here, the king's provision or the king's wealth or anything that makes sense. But they came to him with one, and it wasn't just one, it wasn't one thought. Like, well, we have this thought, probably the best thing for us to do is to make friends with Herod because he gives us food. And, you know, a sort of passive, not passive at all here, but passionate. It's not passive. It's not just a thought, and we'll act on this thought. They were desperate, and desperation, which is a word that has an intensity related to it, motivated them to befriend Blastus and try to get Herod in their good graces, or get in his good graces, actually. They went to him with one desperation or one passion here, with the same. They went with unity. They went with fervency. They went with one, with the same passion, homothumadon. Here it's, you might say it's neutral. If anything, it's evil, but it's not good. Then let us go to 18:12 in the book of Acts. 18:12. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord, that is, homothumadon, rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying this, note that italicized word that no one except maybe our sister to my left uses here, persuades people to worship God contrary to the law. We would say, this guy persuades people to worship contrary to the law. So they are not, they're not saying, well, let's just think this is best for our country, probably. This Paul, he needs to be stopped and just sort of in a blasé, sort of mediocre way. Just went to Gallio and said, would you please do something ill to him so that he stops? No, there was intensity. There was enthusiasm. There was passion. Here the passion is anger. There is wrath. There is a heightened emotion, and they share it. Everyone who is there, the same passion. You don't have to ask them twice to do this. They are ready to do it. They are willing to do it. They are eager to do it. They are sincere. They are earnest. They are very stringent at it. They're zealous about it. To get Paul in some kind of trouble, the most trouble that they can, that if they can get Gallio to dispense. Once again, it's evil, isn't it? And then to chapter 19, Paul leaves Corinth and he goes to Ephesus, 19:29. Now you have a situation here where there is a riot developing, or far into its development, and so the whole city, 19:29, was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, homothumadon, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. Now, when you seize someone because they're doing something, or they are, in this case, associated with another who is doing something that you are just outraged over, and they're involved with it too. They are not just like association, like they're around him. They're fully in agreement with everything that Paul is doing. They want to be an apostolic associate. And so Paul, we don't know all the details about it, but it seems that Paul was unavailable for some reason at the time, and this thing happened, and they couldn't find Paul. He does know about it. He wants to go into this theater where this is happening, because I am assuming he very much wants to go into this theater, and some of the officials in the city are pleading with him not to, because they know this, they're going to tear you apart. They're a violent mob. And I just imagine, I really think this is what it is, though I can't point to a verse that says it, but I imagine that Paul sees this throng, this crowd in the theater, and wants to go and address them because he sees it as an opportunity for me to preach the gospel to thousands of people all at once. But they won't let him go in. They really urge him not to go in. So they, this crowd seizes, they like grab these companions of his that you meet elsewhere in the scripture as well. You can tell it's not just a sort of, you know, half-baked, half-hearted thing. There is a passion with it. You could see that from the context, but with the Greek word homothumadon, the latter part of that word tells you that there's no question that there's passion with it. With the same passion, they did so. Now, all of these times are evil. Only one time is it questionable that it might be something neutral. You see how people can have a unity in a passion. Now, the rest of the times that we look at, it's going to be a passion that we all ought to have. And that is a Christocentric passion to be radically Christ-centered, totally committed to Him, being a Christomaniac. It's the one passion that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Also in Acts, but let's go back to Acts chapter 1. This is the first time I mentioned that I encountered it when translating here. For back, if you have any recollection of when we began to read the book of Acts to you from my translation on the Lord's Day, you know how long ago it's been since I've decided someday I want to teach this, and so here we are. 1:14, speaking of the apostles, the brethren of the Lord, and the women, these all continued homothumadon in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They prayed because they were so into the Lord Jesus Christ. He was their passion. They prayed with passion. They didn't pray some canned thing. They didn't pray, what would you even call them? Sometimes you hear this in prayer, maybe not so much among us when we pray, but maybe other times you'll hear certain, you probably, if I, the things I'm thinking about, you probably don't even, you've never heard them before, but I used to hear certain phrases, certain supplications, like all the time. And they became your proverbial pious platitudes, and after you heard them a few thousand times, you began to think like, if you got to pray that, you're not really praying genuinely. It's not, it's just something to say. Well, that's not how they prayed. They prayed here in Acts 1:14. Homothumadon. I mean, they prayed passionately because of God whom they were praying to and the Lord Jesus Christ who is our spiritual life. This is so instructive to me. How many times you see this word used of the early believers? Christianity in the early church was not the kind of thing like, yeah, we're Christian. I mean, it was a full throttle kind of Christianity. It was a total burn your bridges behind you, 100%, you know, fast as we can, let's do it all the way, and all or none kind of serious Christianity. You find it again in 2:1, Acts 2:1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all homo summa dawn in one place. Now look, the first two of these references I give you that are good references, they've got this before they even have the Holy Spirit. They have this. What excuse do we have as believers not to have it? That tells me that this doesn't have to be, it's not necessarily the result of Spirit filling. This is the result of banking on the implications of what you've come to believe. It's logical to have this same passion in everyone to have it. 2:46. So, continuing daily with one accord, with the same passion, homo summa dawn, in the temple. Now, to do it daily, they had to have that, right? They didn't think it was too much. They didn't think, boy, you know, our leaders just really expect a lot from us, like that we're supposed to come out every day. Some of our number think that it's legalistic when I encourage you to come out 3 times in a week. This is like every day. And nobody had to tell them to do that. Their homo summa dawn told them to do that. And they were right along with it. They did it daily, not half-heartedly, but homo summa dawn in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Amazing. I so appreciate this. Then to chapter 4, you see them doing it again. 4:24. Homo summa dawn, with the same passion. This is after they'd been persecuted, or at least some of them had been persecuted, the apostles. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God, and they'd been delivered, by the way. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord, that is, homo summa dawn, with the same passion, and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea, and they just continue. They're doing it in prayer again. You get the idea now that they've got this base, or this basic, this underlying, this foundational homo summa dawn thing. And whatever they do out from that, they do with that same passion. So I've got this Lord Jesus Christ mania about me. I've got this Lord Jesus Christ love and obsession. I've got this Lord Jesus Christ occupation. It's a preoccupation. I can't stop thinking about him because I love him so much. And so that's why we pray, all right? If that passion is the reason why we pray, then we pray with that same passion. If I evangelize as a result of thinking that way, then I evangelize with that passion. If I study the Scripture because of that passion, I study with that kind of passion. If I fellowship with believers, and you could just keep, you know, making the list. The passion that is the impetus, that is the motivation behind whatever spiritual thing that one would do, having that mindset, is spilling out, you know, my cup runs over. It's running over into not just the way I think about the Lord, but everything that is now associated with the Lord, everything that is Christocentrically viewed in the Lord is a partaker of that same passion. And unity, like they all did it. They had the same passion. It wasn't like, I've got this passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got this passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has this passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, she has this passion for the Lord Jesus. It's like, it's not like so many individual passions, but it's one and the same. We all have the same frame of reference, the same outlook, the same viewpoint of this Lord Jesus Christ fixation. And not just a fixation. You can be fixed on something that you hate. You can be so afraid of some impending evil that you think is coming. You can't stop thinking about anything else but that thing. You're fixed on it, but you don't enjoy it. You just can't seem to get control of your soul so as not to be a slave to that fear. But this is a fixation that they love. They can't get enough of it. They're like busting at the seams here. They can't, like every second, they can't imagine that this could be better than the last second, and it is. It's thrilling to them. Let's look at another. 5:12. Look, we're only up to chapter 5. All right, and how many times? 5 times in as many chapters. We've seen this now. 5:12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord of the same passion in Solomon's porch. All right? Of one accord, that's your NKJV rendering consistently, it seems, so far, for the Greek word, homothumadon, which I'm translating for you as of the same passion. Their passion is the extreme worship of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Next one, 8:6. New believers have this. Here again is a situation where, because of the progressive revelation and because of the unfolding of the dispensational plan of God that you're seeing take place in the book of Acts, in this transitional book that we call Acts, here's another case where people don't even have the Holy Spirit and they have this passion. 8:6. And the multitudes, homothumadon style, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. These are like brand new believers that this guy came to our town. We didn't know he was coming. He wasn't invited. This guy came to town and started preaching about this other guy named Jesus, whom he's calling not just a guy, he's calling God. And as he preaches, he's doing miracles and signs, and people are seriously excited about it. All you have to do is hear him one time and believe him, and you're saved. They keep heeding him, though. They keep coming to listen to him and to learn more about the person of their passion, the Lord Jesus the Christ. And then to 15:25. Acts 15:25. Let's give you a real overview of all of chapter, or most of chapter 15, at least chapter 15 up to this point. You see, the situation that precipitated what must take place now in 15, that certain came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. All right? Circumcision necessary for salvation. That's what we call false doctrine, friends. We call that Judaizing as the form of false doctrine that it takes. And it's a false soteriology. So there's a big dispute. I don't know how you actually say this word. I never hear it spoken. I only hear it written. But when it says, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, I think you pronounce it litotes. All right? But I've never heard anybody else pronounce it. L-I-T-O-T-E-S. And that means if you have, it's a figure of speech, if you have no small dissension, that means you've got a big dissension, all right? But that's the figure of speech, that's the word that figure of speech indicates. Now, or is indicated by that figure of speech. So there's this dissension. They decide to go down to the apostles and elders about this question. The apostles and elders, you know, make a decision, and they do it. They are like excited about making this decision and sending it throughout the Gentile churches, because in 525, where I've had you turn, when they make that decision, part of what they write is, it seemed good to us being assembled with the same passion to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. And they're going to tell them that they're going to lay upon them these things, these four things, in verse 29, and that anything beyond that that would be understood as Mosaic law, you don't need to keep it as a Gentile, unless it's part of the law of Christ. And there's the Venn diagram and the overlap that we talk about. All right. This is really instructive to me. There were people in that group, not the apostles, but there were people of the party, for instance, earlier in the chapter, of the Pharisees, who believed. They were believers, and they were Pharisees. They were still so into the law, but they were believers. And all of them that were gathered there were of the same passion. That tells me that I can disagree with believers, with my fellow believers. And I can be confident, I can be certain, I can be dogmatic that I am right, and I can actually be right. And I don't have to think about them like they're somehow lesser, or they're lower, or they're not as spiritual as I am. I can recognize you disagree with me, and you love the Lord Jesus Christ every bit as much as I do. I find that very instructive, particularly in a time in church history like the one that we live in, which is so divisive. But they gave this, this meeting took place of people who are of the same passion. A passion was the Lord Jesus Christ, a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they sent this letter with the same passion. Then the one time that we find homothumadon, that we are translating of the same passion, not in the book of Acts, is in Romans chapter 15, in verse 6. Tells us that we ought to have the same. Let's read 5 and 6 for context. Romans 15, 5 and 6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you have like-minded, and then you have with one mind, and then you have with one mouth, and with one mind is homothumadon. That we would glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Together, collectively, corporately, with the same passion. You know, that some of us, that it wouldn't be that when you come on the Lord's Day and you see me become animated, maybe you say, I don't need to be the Lord's Day, you're doing it tonight. But I mean, if you see me and I'm teaching and it's obvious that I'm really into this, and maybe you see me do a little jump on the stage or, you know, or whatever, and it's like, you know, it's obvious he's really into this. It shouldn't be, according to this verse, that there are some of us who aren't as into it. That Homosuma Dawn means that all of us, not like you mimic me, it may look differently when you do it. It may be, you know, you may express yourself in different mannerisms or in different ways, but what we're saying is that the same intensity of love permeates every believer. What if we don't have that? What if an individual has to say, you're like talking another language here. I mean, I'm recognizing, I mean, I've seen it how many times in the scripture now? How many times have we seen it? 1, 2, 3, 4 times it was evil. So forget them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times in the New Testament, it is directed toward the same object, the one object of our God. What if you say, I'm seeing it in the Bible, I guess I ought to be that way. I'm not that way, and I admit it. What would the word of the Lord say to you if you were so honest? Jesus would say, as he did to the church at Laodicea, which was anything but passionate, rather lukewarm. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, or change your mind. That tells me that if a lack of homosuma dawn on an individual level can be repented of, then it must be sin. I must have to change. If I have to change my mind about it and adjust to the way God thinks, I guess it's carnal not to have it. Polycarp was a man. We've heard of Polycarp before. I've referred to Polycarp before. When they were trying him and he was about to die, and he knew he's about to die, because I've come to this place, we've seen this played out before. You come here to this place, you stand before that man, he's going to give you a chance to recant. If you don't do it, you're fed to lions or you're burned alive or something. And the word repent, I believe, is actually used, which shows that it's not just a, you know, spiritual word. This murderer is using it, and he asks Polycarp to repent of his worship of Jesus. And he answers something like this. I can't quote him exactly. Sometimes I can quote the Bible exactly, but I spend a lot of time with the Bible. I appreciate Polycarp, but I don't spend a lot of time reading his words. But he said, this is very close, if not exactly what he said. He said, with us, that is Christians, repentance from a good thing to a bad thing is not allowed. But if it's repentance from the bad to the good, then certainly, you know, we're for that. But the idea was, you're asking me to repent of something right. It's disallowed among us. If I can repent and the Lord's calling me to do it, then it must be wrong. I want to encourage you to homosuma dawn to so many individuals making individual personal decisions to have this passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even before I put this together, it didn't take much time at all. I've been wanting to teach you this for a long time, and so I knew I just have to look, find that Greek word, homothumadon, write it down, and it took me next to no time to just write these out and be ready for tonight. But before that, this day I thought, I want this day, and I know the new man is talking here, and I even told God that as I prayed to him. I said, I'm praying to you from the new man. I don't have any confidence in myself at all. And I'm talking to God. I'm saying, I have no kind of trust in myself that I'll be able to carry this out at all. But the new man's talking to you. I want this day to be the day where I go, like, way up from wherever I've been living now as far as my commitment to you. You know, one of the verses that really struck me, I'm reading, I've been quoting to you from the New King James Version. It's a Bible that I'm reading through now. I'm just reading through the Old Testament in it. It's a new translation of, I mean, really new, like it just came out in April, last month, of the Septuagint. But the New Testament is the New King James Version. So I'm just reading the Old Testament in it. I read this, and let me read this for you. I read this in Haggai. You can turn there if you'd like. Haggai chapter 2. Again, might have a difference here, but this struck me so powerfully when I read through Haggai. 2:18. Establish your hearts from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought to this. And that just struck me so powerfully, like, I can do that. I can establish my heart from this day forward and put a date to it. I'm going to be more committed to the Lord Jesus Christ than I ever have been in my life. This is like, jack it up a number of notches here. Never be satisfied. I can be careful to think like this. I want to be more passionate, more dedicated, more devoted, more committed, more holy. Ever been in my life. It's the new man speaking. Your new man agrees. Every new human being, every new man or new woman in this room agrees with me. So I encourage you, let's ratchet it up and have the same passion for our Lord Jesus Christ. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.